This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday morning podcast on the 17th of June, 2024. Welcome. I'm Andy Eubank, joined on the news by Eric Pfeiffer today. We have an Indiana crop update right from the farm, and the EPA is being sued. A couple of ag groups are a part of that. The HAT podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. More at ffbt.com and stop by your local branch. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin here today, too. He says we have a lot of heat throughout the week, possible pop-up storms. Friday, grain and oil seed markets sold off. We'll have settlements and Brian Basting analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
A crop update from East Central Indiana, an ag group suing the EPA over emissions overreach. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Henry County farmer Matthew Chapman got his corn and soybean planting finished early this year. He's nestled right in between Muncie and Newcastle in the small town of Springport, Indiana, where he says they missed a lot of those early rain events that kept others around the state out of their fields.
Overall, the crop is on its way. Corn's growing well, really enjoying this heat last week. Beans are a little slower coming, but, you know, beans always seem to grow slow in the beginning when you're watching the corn be off to the races every day. It seems like the beans take a little while before they start making their own nitrogen and get some nice color to them.
I asked Chapman if he's concerned right now about any disease or insect pressure.
Yeah, at the moment, we're okay. We did spray insecticide on the corn early when we did our final herbicide pass because we were getting a lot of pressure, which was very unusual. I assume just the warm spring and the mild winter probably added to that. Usually where you get hot and dry, the insects are soon to follow while they're looking for something to eat. So we're going to keep a close eye on these beans as they start coming around.
As for weeds, Chapman says those have been a problem from the get-go this season.
We've been playing catch-up, it seems like, all year. I think that goes back to the mild winter and the early spring heat. Really, the weeds got a jump start on us, and really had to be aggressive with them on our burn down, and our tillage in the spring had to work a lot of the cornfields a couple times to try to get them into shape. I think that may be a future issue that we have to plan ahead for. I know a lot of guys are spraying more in the fall to try to get a jump start on that program, and that's probably something we need to be more aggressive with.
Chapman says that can make for a difficult decision, because you need to plan out your corn and bean rotation in the fall, since what you spray in the fall can determine what you have to plant in the spring. Two ag groups are joining a lawsuit accusing the EPA of regulatory overreach over emissions. Andy Eubank has details.
The American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Corn Growers Association have joined the American Petroleum Institute in suing EPA over its emissions standards for light and medium duty vehicles for model years 2027 through 2032. Travis Cushman, Deputy General Counsel for AFBF, explains what issues the groups have with the rule.
What this rule would do is by 2032, 68% of all cars and light trucks would need to be electric, and 43% of large pickups and vans would have to be electric. We're arguing that EPA here, they're not regulating air emissions. They are requiring the country to change how they propel their vehicles. And in doing so, they've gone well beyond the scope of the regulatory authority Congress granted them.
Cushman says this rule would place a large burden on farmers.
This rule is aiming to artificially and significantly decrease the supply of internal combustion engines in favor of electric vehicles, which thereby forces consumers off of sustainable biofuels and into much more expensive electric vehicles. Rural America lacks proper charging infrastructure. As a result, farmers will steadily lose access to a large market for biofuels, and farm vehicles will become significantly more expensive to purchase.
And what's next in the legal process?
We will start briefing the issue. After we brief the issue, the court will hold an oral argument, and then later on, they'll issue a decision. Representing us is Paul Clement, the former Solicitor General, so he's a very exciting attorney to work with.
Keep up with further developments by going to fb.org. I'm Andy Eubank.
More farm news in the Hat mobile app. Just search Hoosier Ag Today in your app store. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farmers need flexibility, which is why Farm Credit Mid-America offers farm real estate loans with flexible options built for farmers. With a wide range of loan products and competitive interest rates, we are able to tailor a farm real estate loan to meet your needs. If you're thinking about expanding your farm, visit us at fcma.com/real estate to learn more. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Attention farmers and equipment dealers. Are you tired of premature wear and tear plaguing your John Deere combine? Say goodbye to frequent replacements and hello to durability with meticulously crafted John Deere wear parts from Eile Fabrications. Eile uses superior metal materials to ensure extended wear for your combine. Their premium quality parts won't break the bank. Elevate your harvest season. Visit Eile Fabrications online. IHLEFabrications.com. Restore, protect, repair. Eile Fabrications.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We're starting off the work week with a lot of heat. We got very warm yesterday, and we are going to be looking at excessive heat all week long. Now, I will tell you this. Anytime you've got heat like this, you can see some heat-based convection. That means I will not rule out pop-up afternoon or evening thunderstorms each of the next 3-4 nights or so. However, if you're counting on moisture or you need moisture, this is not a good situation to be in because this heat-based convection will be highly hit and miss. I won't rule it out anywhere, but I don't think it happens many places at all. I think it will be very, very localized. The heat will be here through the entirety of the week. While this is happening here and we have some heat-based pop-up thunderstorm activity that we have to keep an eye out for, there is an active precipitation track back off to the west and north, running from east and northeastern Colorado right up through Nebraska, western parts of Iowa, southern Minnesota, eastern South Dakota, Wisconsin, the UP of Michigan. That's where the moisture sits all this week. We see temperatures well above normal, heat indices in the triple digits pretty much all week long. We get into the weekend, that active precipitation track to the northwest really kicks it up a notch. Minnesota, Wisconsin, northern Iowa seeing some significant rains. Will that sag this direction? The front seems to want to break loose as we move through Sunday, late evening and overnight, and on into Monday. I think the front comes through. We might see a wind shift and some slightly cooler temperatures, but at this point, precipitation out of that, I'm just not sure it holds together. Keep your fingers crossed for Sunday night, early Monday morning with a line of showers, maybe a rumble of thunder, but I'm going to put it right now at about 20% probability. Doesn't look good to me. Coverage will be about 30% of the state if it does happen, and then we're back to dry weather again for most of the rest of next week. You get into Wednesday the 26th, to Thursday the 27th. We're going to be dealing with a little front trying to come in to the west, but once again, best moisture seems to want to set up in Missouri, Illinois, Wisconsin, and it really runs out of gas when it gets here. I'm projecting the Hoosier State to be quite dry by the time we get to the end of the 10-day forecast window. Not a good scenario to be in, at least right now. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
McDonald's of Indiana proudly supports our local farmers and suppliers. McDonald's sources millions of their products from the talented farmers here in the Hoosier State. As you gather to celebrate this year's Indiana FFA State Convention, remember to fuel your passion with your McDonald's favorites. Download the McDonald's app now and order with ease. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Corn, soybeans, and wheat end the week with a sell-off. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review, brought to you by the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund. paying Indiana farmers to begin or expand on-farm conservation efforts with no limit on acres enrolled. Details at theoutcomesfund.com. Theoutcomesfund.com. Lower all day long, settlements coming up. We begin, though, with market analysis, which I grabbed in the middle of trade from Brian Basting at Advanced Trading. We have lower markets going into the weekend, and Brian, the dollar index may be a part of that. It's been pretty strong this week. I'm wondering if some Thursday night rains across parts of the Corn Belt may be putting a little pressure on the markets as well.
Yeah, just a weekend, the end of week position evening, for lack of a better phrase. Andy, we had a good bounce there earlier this week. Obviously, a little bit of concern early, but hot and dry conditions. And as you said, we did see some rain move through the Midwest overnight Thursday. But more or less, I think as you get into these Friday type markets the next few weeks, it's going to be risk off because the forecast can change so fast going into this critical pollination for corn here, just a few weeks away. It's hard to believe here that first day of summer is next week. But I think we're seeing a little bit of profit taking at the end of the week.
We did have a USDA supply and demand update on Wednesday. It seems as though the market shook that off fairly quickly. Is that your sense?
Yeah, very non-eventful report for corn, and especially for corn, Andy, and beans. No change on the carryout estimates for older new crop corn in the U.S. I did see that CONAB, which is roughly the equivalent of USDA in Brazil, increased their size of the Brazilian corn crop by 2.5 million tons. That's about 100 million bushel yesterday. But other than that, no, I think you hit the nail on the head. The market shook off that report. There will be two reports released on June 28th. That would be the grain stocks report. It only comes out four times a year. It gives us an idea what the grain stocks were on June 1st. And then the other one will be an updated acreage estimate. This will be a survey that's being completed now, the first 2 weeks of June, of what the actual planted acreage were for the major crops here in the U.S. So those two reports could be market movers. But as far as the supply-demand report, it was pretty much of a non-event, yeah.
As far as corn and soybeans and the levels that we currently see, do you favor either one of those markets over the other?
Well, we've seen a little bit more strength in corn, Andy. We've seen some basis strength in out west in some of the areas here. We've seen the spreads, for example, narrow in on corn. July had been gaining on December, or beg your pardon, on September for quite a bit. I think it backed off a little bit on Thursday, but beans has been more of a struggle, whether it's just demand. The USDA did lower crush demand by 10 million bushel on Wednesday. Our bias is that number could decline a bit further in terms of future reports, so that would add to our carryout. Old crop beans, new crop is in the ground now for the most part. First crop condition ratings were good this week. You know, I don't have a strong bias. I guess if I was pushed, I would say that it feels like corn may be a little bit firmer than beans. But if for nothing else, Andy, we're getting into some really hot temperatures here coming up next week, and that'll keep the market jittery. No corn is pollinating, of course, yet in the Midwest. But anytime you get those mid-90s, people start to worry, is this something that we're seeing change in the pattern? And obviously, you get into 1st of July, and weather will be everything.
You mentioned the word jittery. The wheat market may not be jittery, but it seems to get different cues on different days. And, of course, the trade is really looking at production out of the Black Sea area. What's the latest there and the wheat market's reaction to it?
You did summarize that well. The market's looking at Black Sea right now, specifically looking at Russia and also Ukraine. The USDA on Wednesday lowered the size of the Russian wheat crop by 5 million tons compared to what it was in May, and they lowered the Ukraine crop by 1.5 million tons compared to what it was last month. So those crops got smaller in terms of 2024. They're also smaller compared to last year. It's a big deal right now what happens the next 30 to 45 days between now and the 1st of August in Russia, and I'll add in Ukraine too in terms of production. It's just Russia is the dominant wheat exporter in the world, and their crop is already almost 10% smaller than last year. So we'll be looking at the private estimates going to be now. We'll be watching the weather trends, if they're going to get some more rain. Any crop that was frozen, if you will, back there in early May is done. I mean, it's not going to come back with any amount of rain, but some rain could still help the later crop that did not get damaged by that freeze frost. But yeah, other than that, I think our wheat crop prospects here in the U.S., Andy, for the moment, are still real good in terms of the soft wheat crop there in Indiana and Michigan and Illinois. Still looks good. Crop condition ratings are strong. I think the crop out west in Kansas, Oklahoma is going to be much better than last year. So wheat market is driven at the moment. We saw a lot of liquidation after that knee-jerk $1.50 rally in wheat that we saw back in May in response to that Russian issue with the weather and the freeze and so forth. And now we're coming back down. And the question is, you know, what is the damage in Russia, Ukraine? Will end users come in here and buy on these lower prices? And it is a story that's being written as you and I speak now. So.
And as we speak now, you are in Michigan. A road trip on Friday for you. You've met with farmers, I believe, up there. So if you wouldn't mind, tell us what kind of crops you've seen on the trip up there and what might be on the minds of farmers in northern Michigan.
I was fortunate. I was invited by the Michigan State Millers Association to speak, Andy, at their meeting this morning. We're up here in Glen Arbor, which is way up in the northwest part of Michigan. I flew up here yesterday, so I didn't see much wheat,
okay.
But I will say this. Everybody I've talked to the last 2 days is, cross your fingers, optimistic about wheat up here. It looks very good, has very little disease at the moment. As your listeners know, though, that wheat is very sensitive this time of year. We certainly don't want to get a 1 or 2 inch rain on wheat anywhere. That would be a sprout, causing sprout issues, or just, you know, test weight, everything falls apart at the end. But right now, there's some people whispering up here that we could have near record yields, and the crop condition ratings from the USDA support that. It came out on Monday, of course. So really great group of people. I was fortunate to get into to visit with them, and they're just relaying what they're hearing and seeing from producers and from their own field observations. Things look really good up here.
Do they expect harvest to be about on time this year?
A bit earlier than usual, Andy. The crop has moved along nicely here. Again, all else being equal, without any delays coming up, what I picked up, every region is probably a bit different, but as much as a week to 2 weeks early this year up here. That's backed up by the USDA crop progress report, also showing a wheat heading, for example, is ahead of normal for most all areas across the country.
Economist Brian Basting at Advanced Trading. Brian's number 309-664-2314. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, the markets closed near their lows. July corn 450, losing 8.5 cents. And December down a nickel and three quarters, 470 and a quarter. July beans, 1179 and three quarters, down 9 3/4. November contract, 10.5 off at 1149 and three quarters. And July wheat, 612 and three quarters, a loss of 7 1/4. The meat's up. August live cattle, 183.17, up 367. And July lean hogs, 93.65, up 87. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.